Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph. Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf, we're going to be starting on the bottom Lamed Amud Beis. We're starting with the words Amalei Abaye LeRav Yosef. Yesterday, the Gemara was working off of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you go into the Azariah of Tov in the Mikvah. And it means to say that you're already Tahor. You have no Tumah that you're harboring. And meanwhile, if you're going to go into the Azariah, you have to Tov in the Mikvah. That's what we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. And the Mishnah says, so you have to do a tefillah before going into the Azari. Now the Mishnah does say that you're going in there to do the avoda, but Rashi says lav dafka. It doesn't mean you're going to do the avoda. Just typically speaking, that's what a person does when he goes into the Azari. He's going to do the avoda. But even if it's not for an avoda, you still have to tov in the mikvah. So the obvious question is why. So in yesterday's daf, so we went through a basic machlokus between the Tanaim in terms of why that should be. So Shalu is Ben Zoma. So the Brice quoted yesterday, cited the position of Ben Zoma. It's a Kal V'chomer, Kohen Gadol. So every time he's going from one location to another, in the Azara itself, he's got a Tov on the Mikvah. So you're going from a Makam Chol to a Makam Kodesh, Alachas Kama V'kama. It's a Kol Shekain. It's a Kal V'chomer that you have to do a Tefillah. It's based on the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And Rabbi Yehuda says no. It has nothing to do with that. It's a tefillah derabbanan. What it's serving to do is just a reminder. It reminds you that you're going into the azara. You know that if you tell me you're going to be chayiv, you're going to be chayiv kares. So just let's remind each other. Are you sure you're tahor? So maybe you're harboring some old tama about you. And so the tefillah in the mikvah is basically there as a reminder. And if in fact while you're going into the mikvah you remember, you say to yourself, oh yeah, that's right. Oh, that I am in fact Tamei. So fine. So what that means now is that you're toving in the mikvah now, but it also means that you're not going to be walking into the Azara. Because remember, in order to become Tahor from most of the Tumah, so you're going to require Tefillah and Harif Shemesh. So you're not going to be able to immediately go into the Azara. Fine. So basically it comes down to, we had a basic machlokas yesterday between Ben Zoma and Rav Yehuda in terms of what is the nature of this tefillah when you go into the Azara. According to Ben Zoma, it's a tefillah d'araisa, and according to Rav Yehuda, it's a tefillah d'rabbanan. Gemara tried to find nafkaminas between the two positions yesterday. The Gemara ended up saying the nafkamin is going to be a bitul asay. Whereas according to the Shita Ben Zoma, you go into the Azara having not tovel in the mikvah, again, you're tahor. But you didn't tovel in the mikvah, you're mevatel mitzvah seseh. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not mevatel mitzvah seseh because it's a din d'rabbanan. It's not a din d'araisa. Okay. That was the Gemara yesterday. The Gemara today, finishing up this topic, this particular discussion, will bring us to the Mishnah. Mishnah is coming up on the Amud Beis, on Lamed Aleph. And there, we're going to start with the actual Seder HaAvoda regarding the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. First question of the day, Amar Le Abaye LeRav Yosef, Tvila Zu, Chotzei So Eino Chotzei. So you're toveling now in the mikvah. So you have to worry about chatzitza, you don't have to worry about chatzitza, obviously. Every single time you go into the mikvah, you have to worry about chatzitza. There can be no separation, no barrier between the water and your skin. And so obviously under almost every circumstance, so you have to worry about chatzitza over here, you don't have to worry about chatzitza. So yeah, the Gemara is entertaining the idea. In the moment, the Gemara is going to reject the idea, but the Gemara is entertaining the idea over here that you don't have to worry about chatzitza. Rashi says that this question is a liba de Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this tefillah is a din d'rabbanan. So over here, what the Gemara wants to know is, okay, so it's a srach tefillah ba'alma. It's just a reminder, this going into the mikvah. Okay, so maybe this reminder doesn't require that you have to worry about chatzitza. That's the way Rashi understands it. Tosfos says no. This question over here is both according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Ben Zoma. Now that's a little bit tricky. Meaning, according to Ben Zoma, it's a tefillah d'araisa. So why wouldn't you have to worry about chatzitza? So Tosfos over here makes a comment, the top Tosfos on our Amud, which really connects to Tosfos yesterday, and to be frank and honest, I didn't go over this Tosfos yesterday, but it's a really important Tosfos, in terms of Tosfos' understanding of the Shita of Ben Zoma. Ben Zoma says it's a din d'oraisa, based on a Kal V'chomer. Let's go back to the Kal V'chomer, let's just think about this Kal V'chomer a little bit more. Kal V'chomer says, you know, when the Kohen Gadol, every time he moves positions in the on Yom Kippur, he's going to have to tov on the mikvah, which is true. But you know what's also true? The Kal V'chomer is learning from the Kohen Gadol. Yeah, you know what happens after every time he tovels in the mikvah? He does an avoda. He's in the Azara. He's going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's going into the Heichal. He's doing an Avoda. So it's a funny Kavachomer. The Kavachomer is basically saying that, well, we know from the Kohen Gadol that he tovels every time he makes a move. So you and I have to tovel every single time. Kavachomer is not that strong. In other words, Rashi, Tosfos, they both say, no, Lav Dafka doesn't mean you're going into doing a Avoda. It means you're just going into the Azara. Well, wait one second. If the Kavachomer is being derived from the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avoda. So how do we get from there to this idea that when I walk into the Azara, even if I'm not doing an Avoda, I have to tovel in the mikvah? It's a funny Kavachomer. Tosu says, yesterday, and the point's going to be reiterated right now, no. The Kavachomer is only for the person doing the Avoda. Of course. Meaning, if we're learning from the Kohen Gadol is toveling in the mikvah and doing the Avoda. So for you and I, so, not for me, I'm not a Kohen, but okay, fine. So anyone going into the Azara to do the Avoda, so that's a Din D'Oraisa. Ah, but what if you're not going to do the Avoda? Still you require a tefillah, even according to Ben Zoma, it's just not a Din D'Oraisa. Okay, fine. So Tosho says that our question over here, maybe you don't have to worry about Chatzitza, is even going according to the position of Ben Zoma. Ben Zoma says it's a Din D'Oraisa, so that part's true. But that's only when you're going to be doing an Avoda. If you're not going to be doing an Avoda, it's no longer a Din D'Oraisa. It's now dropped down to a Din D'Rabbanan. And Tosho says, so this question of the Gemara over here is Bein L'Rev Yehuda, Bein L'Ben Zoma. Good, that's Tosho's on the top of our Amud over here. The answer, the Gemara doesn't entertain this question that long. So Amalei called the Takan Rabbanan, Kein D'Oraisa Takan. So the answer is no, you're right. It's a Din D'Rabbanan to Tovel in the Mikvah. Let's say it like Rashi, so just a little bit easier. It's a Din D'Rabbanan to Tovel in the Mikvah. It's only Srach Tuma. It just reminds the person whether or not he's harboring any old Tuma. And okay, it's a Din D'Rabbanan. But called the Takan Rabbanan, Kein D'Oraisa. But we know the rule. The Gemara says it numerous times, this being a good example, perfect example, that when the Chachamim institute a Din D'Rabbanan, they pattern themselves after the Din D'Oraisa. Din D'Oraisa, obviously, you have to worry about Chatzitza. On this Tefillah D'Rabbanan, you have to worry about Chatzitza. Question? And Abai was thinking, right, Rashi, the way Rashi sets up the Havamina, right, it's a fair point. Rashi sets up the Havamina, that this Tefillah is lower than a Din D'Rabbanan, in the Havamina. It's a lower than a Din D'Rabbanan. It's there just to remind you. It's not removing a Tumah D'Rabbanan. It's just a reminder. Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef, or Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, second line down. Next question. Bein b'miksas, shema b'olo olo. So, let's say you're partially going to go into the Azara. Partial entrance into the Azara. You know, like the Metzora that's going to put his thumbs into the Azara on his eighth day, which we've gone over numerous times. In fact, not only have we gone over it numerous times, we're back to go over it again. But the Gemara now wants to know, look, I go into the Azara, I have to tell from the mikvah, And again, let's focus more on the Shita and Rebbe Yehuda. It's a Din D'Rabbanan. So let's say I'm not going to go totally, completely into the Azara. Just a part of me is going to go into the Azara, and not even a majority, a minority, a Bia B'miksas. So do I have to go through this Tvila? And again, the question for is just a little bit easier to be said according to Rebbe Yehuda. Again, the Tvila over here is a Din D'Rabbanan, not a Din D'Oraisa. So the Gemara says, Amar Leh Bahonus Yochichu Shein Bias B'miksas. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to the Mitzara, meaning the Bia B'miksas, the classic case, which we go back to repeatedly, is of course the Mitzara. Remember Mitzara on day number 8? So he is experiencing his Kapara by bringing the Karbanos. Karbanos of a Mitzara are an Ola, an Asham, and Achatas, and as far as the Karbanosham is concerned, the blood of the Karbanosham is going to be applied to his right thumb, right toe, and his right earlobe. But he can't walk into the Azara as of yet because he's in the process. So what does he do? So he stands by Sharni Kanor, and he inserts his thumb, and he inserts his toe, and he inserts his right ear. So that's Bia B'miksas. Okay. What does the Mitzar have to do on day number 8? Well, it happens to be that we had a major debate about this in yesterday's daf. But right now, let's just assume, like the Chachamim, Vitanya, and the Gemara quotes the Braisa, we saw this Braisa yesterday, Mitzar, Tovel, V'Omid, B'Sharni Kanur, that he has to Tovel, meaning he's going to go into the Azara. All of him? No. Just his thumb, his toe, his right ear. It's Bia B'miksas, and still, the requirement of the Mitzar to have to go Tovel in the Mikvah. Okay, so the Gemara says, yeah, for Bia B'miksas, you still have to Tovel in the Mikvah. This requirement of toveling in the Azara is still on. Ibailu, third question of the Gemara. Maushi yasu sakina rakav yishchot. So let's say like this. I don't want to tov on the mikvah. Whatever the motivation is. I can't help you in terms of whatever. He doesn't want to tov on the mikvah. So how about this? How about I'll stand outside the Azara with a really long knife and I'll shech with a really long knife. Okay. And again, practicality of this question, not so sure. But I understand the concept over here. And the concept is that, look, he's going to be performing an avoda in the Azara, but he himself is not walking to the Azara. Does he have to go through this tevila? And the Gemara is going to point out, the Gemara is going to be clear over here. This question is going to be Bein l'Rav Yehuda and Bein l'Ben Zoma. Rashi writes over here, Maushi Yase, Sakin Aruka. Rashi writes, Liftorot's Mamina Tevila. Okay, it's just a way of getting out of the toveling in the mikvah. V'yamud chutz l'azara. And he'll stand outside the azara. V'yoshi yadu lefnim v'yishchot. Mi mifter b'hachi min ha-tevila. O dilma by tevila. Uli iin hechshere de kar b'loka mi b'ayle. Da'afagav da'amai b'chutz v'shach hechshere de tayim b'zvachim min ha-bakar lefnei Hashem v'lo shoche lefnei Hashem. Now, what about the fact that the shochet has to be in the azara? So Rashi says, this was already discussed in the Gemara and Zvachim. The Gemara and Zvachim clarified, and it's the halacha psuka that happens to be the shochet of a karban doesn't need to be in the azara. That's already been established in the Gemara and Zvachim. Our focus over here in Yuma, here in the third perek, is just a question of the requirement of tefillah, meaning you're doing this to bypass the tefillah. Okay, does it work? So the Gemara says, well, let's see. So Tibaila ben Zoma Tibaila Rabbana de Pligala de Reb Yehuda. So the Gemara says, I could see this question, both being a question on the Chachamim and also on those who argue on Reb Yehuda. Tibaila ben Zoma, so let's start off with the Shita ben Zoma. I kan lamechai ben Zoma la legavai. Yes, it's true, ben Zoma does require a tefillah. And let's also add that ben Zoma requires a tefillah min haTorah. That's true. Ava lebrai lo. But that's only if you're going into the Azara. This person is not going into the Azara. Odelma asilem shuche. On the other hand, however, you can imagine that he's trying to shech long distance, right? A long distance shechita. So you can only imagine that he's going to be tempted to get a little bit closer to make sure he's doing a good job. So the truth of the matter is that we don't know. Meaning for Ben Zoma, unsure. And as far as the Chachamim are concerned, also a question. So yeah, over there. So you're not doing an avoda. Over here you're doing an avoda, meaning you're shechting a karban. So maybe there is a requirement. Or maybe no, it's no different. So take it. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay. So the Gemara says again. It's a good question. Is standing outside the Azara and shechting with a long knife with a carbon in the Azara, does that require tefillah? The Gemara says unsure. Interesting, by the way, the Gemara ended off by saying, you know, over here in this case, you're doing an avoda. So Tosfos Rishonim already makes this point over here, and that is that over here the Gemara is describing the shechting of a carbon as an avoda. Now, the Tosfos Rishonim says, here's what I don't want to hear as a question. I don't want to hear as a question. Do you know, we say every time we talk about karbanos and the activities of a karban, shechita lav avoda. And why is that? Because we know that a non-kohen can do the shechita of a karban. Okay, most of the time, right, we discussed already a number of times, lechatchila, you should probably get a kohen, and we already described that by the karban tamid, in the pious, in the lottery. So one of the winners of the lottery is obviously the winner is a kohen, and he's doing the shechita. But we also know, the Gemara says it all the time, that shechita lav avoda. So Tosfos Rishonim says so. It sounds a little bit confusing. Our Gemara, when describing the shechita of a karban, calls an avoda, and throughout the rest of Shas, it says shechita lav avoda. But Tosfos Rishonim says, look, everything becomes relative. Meaning that in the vis-a-vis the requirements of a kohen, you don't need a kohen. But if you're shechting a karban to a certain degree, obviously, it's still an avoda. Meaning you are preparing a karban now so that the blood is going to come out, so that you could sprinkle the blood, so that you could take the rest of the karban and burn on the mizbeach, and even if it's a shlam, and parts of it to be burned on the mizbeach. Obviously, it all starts with shechita. So yeah, so relative to the fact that you're now preparing a karban, it's an avoda. Relative to the requirements of a kohen, it's not an avoda. So yeah, Tosfos Rishonim says the shechita of a karban exists somewhere in the middle between being a voda and a non-avoda. Okay. Next, Chamish Shavuos v'Asar Kiddushin Tova. We are right in the middle of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, and now the Gemara is going to continue. Tanu Rabbanan, we're going to be quoting a brisa. Chamish Shavuos v'Asar Kiddushin Tova Kohen Gadol Mikash Baba Yom. So as far as the sum total of the number of times the Kohen Gadol is going to be both washing his hands and feet and tovling in the mikvah, 10 times for washing hands and feet and 5 times for tovling in the mikvah. So the 10-5 we're going to be hearing again and again, and it will be a bit of a struggle, not so bad, but it will be a little bit of a struggle in terms of how to get to those numbers. But we're going to come back to that. So v'kulam b'kodesh, now all the tefillahs are going to be in the Azara, meaning the Kohen Gadol spending the day in the Azara. So all the tefillahs are going to be in a mikvah that is status-wise considered part and parcel of the Azara, the Beis HaParva, in a location called the Beis HaParva, Chutz Merishona. Except for the very, very first fila. Very first fila. So remember, he starts off in the Lishkas Barhedrin. So Lishkas Barhedrin, Kodesh or Chol? Right? That was a confusing question that we struggled with in the first parak. Whether it's by Kodesh or whether it's by Chol. Is it by Kodesh? Yeah, but then how is the Kohen Gadol sleeping there? And good, Tosos was asking that question already in the first parak. But anyway, but let's just for simplicity's sake, let's say that he starts off the day in the, not in Kodesh, not in the Azara, but rather in outside. And now we know. In other words, we just learned on the Mishnah. Now he's making entrance into the Azara. When making entrance into the Azara, you must tovel on the mikvah. So that first tefillah that he does, of the 5 tefillahs that he's doing, so that first tefillah is not going to be Bakodesh. It'll be in a separate mikvah. That status-wise is considered part and parcel of the Harabais. So, Chutz Mirishona Shahaisa Bechol, Al-Gabish Aramayim, Uvitzad Lishkaso Haisa. So, you want to find it? So the Gemara gives us a lot of clues in terms of where to find it. So it is right above Shar HaMayim. That's interesting, by the way. You have a mikvah, which is second floor. Second story mikvah. Okay. The Gemara is going to speak a little bit about the engineering of it in today's daf. And on top of it, you want to know where it is? It's right next to Lishkaso. It's next to his Lishka, meaning the Kohen Gadol's. So it's next door to Lishka's Parhedrin. So over here in this Braisa, right, we spent a quite amount of time in the first parak trying to figure out where Lishkas Parhedrin is. We know that it is a chamber that is bordering the Azara. It's on the north side and on the south side. So we spent nearly a daf in the giving an argument that it's in the north side. The Gemara wasn't so compelled by that argument. But okay, whatever the case is. Anyway, over here in this Braisa, more clues as to where it finds it. And it's more than clues, by the way. Next to Shar HaMayim, sorry, above Shar HaMayim, next to the Lishkas Parhedrin. Good. So so we have a good sense of where this first tefillah is done. Amar Abai Shmamina. So the Abai says, okay, so here's what we can deduce from here. Okay, this is a mikvah. What does that mean? So then it means that it needs to be fed by natural water, right? You can't pump water up into there because obviously that's not how a mikvah works. A mikvah has to be a collection of rainwater, or it could be sourced from natural spring water. Well, in order for a water source to feed it naturally, so what you of course need is that the water source needs to be from a higher elevation. Okay. So the Gemara now is going to do a little bit regarding the engineering. The Gemara here is going to give us very little information, but something in terms of, well, the water source obviously has got to be on a higher plane than the actual mikvah, this particular mikvah that we're describing right now. So this mikvah is built on the second story. So how high is the second story? So as we're going to point out in just a moment, it's 20 amas high. Now the mikvah itself also requires height. How high does the mikvah itself have to be? As we're going to be discussing in today's daf, it's 3 amas. Okay, so now let's put the numbers together. This is simple math. So 20 amas, we know it can only start from the 20 amah height, which is, you know, the first floor is 20 amas, and then add another 3 amas to there, 23 amas. So that must mean that the water source that's feeding it has to be in elevation 23 amas higher than this particular mikvah. The Gemara says, good. That's the deduction. Abaye, Amar Abaye Shmamina, Ein Eitam. So it's a spring. It's called Ein Eitam. Rashi says, Nira Li, Rashi in the Dibra Maschal Ein Eitam, he says, Nira Li, Shuhu, Ma'ayan, Meinaf Tawach, Hamor B'Sefer Yoshua. Okay, so if you know your Sefer Yoshua, now this is the second half of Sefer Yoshua. Okay, right, generally speaking, when you're learning Sefer Yoshua in the schools, in the yeshivas, I'm speaking here in our, you know, in our system. I have a good feeling in Eretz Yisrael, it's a lot better. But here, so basically you go halfway through the Sefer and, you know, that's where the narration ends, and from that point forward, it's listings. this shaver gets this, this shaver gets that, and you know, and that goes on. So Rashi, no Sefer Yehoshua, backwards, forwards, you understand. So Rashi says, if you look in the second half of Sefer Yehoshua, so you'll see a Mayan called Mei Naftoach, and Rashi gives us some more information. And Rashi says, Shemisham HaGvul Mishapeh V'yareh LaMizrach Ulamara V'hu, now in the Rashi you have the word Gvul, but probably amended to HaGavol B'chol Eretz Yisrael. Actually, elevation-wise, this is the high point of Eretz Yisrael. Right. Often is the time we think Yerushalayim is a high point, and Yerushalayim is an elevation, but in terms of the elevation, when Bnei Yisrael enter into Eretz Yisrael, so it's this point that we're describing right now. And Rashi goes on to say, in fact, the Gemara in Zvachim says is that when they were trying to locate where to build the Beis HaMikdash, remember, the Torah never tells us the Beis HaMikdash is to be built in Yerushalayim. The Torah consistently says, I'll show you where to build it. And then, you know, and then obviously Yerushalayim becomes the place. So the Gemara in Zvachim says, there was a thought to build the Beis HaMikdash in Ein Eitam. And the reason is very simple. It was the highest point in terms of elevation. And then, right, Rashi goes on, really, it's a great Rashi. So Rashi goes on, so Amre, Nachta Be Porta. So then, I assume the Nevi'im are speaking over here. They say, no, not the highest elevation, a little bit lower. Why? The Pasuk says, Rebein Ksefav Shachain, Deshamina Meneshu Gavo Aminako Velo Parish Menale U Parish Le'abai Hacha. So the Bein Ksefav Shachain, that's obviously that's the Nevu'ah of Moshe, talking about that Yerushalayim is going to be built right between the shoulders. So in other words, basically, it's a point that just slightly lower than the highest elevation, right? Your neck is resting on a point. Your shoulders are a little bit higher than your neck. Most of us. But anyway, fine. So that's the idea over here. So good. So now that we know that this water source is coming from Mei Eitan, and now it's how higher is it than Yerushalayim? So we know it's at least 23 amas higher. Okay, that's the conclusion of Abaye. Back to the Gemara. So I'm going to just start again. Amar Abaye Shema Minayin Etam Gavol Mikarka Azara Esr Mishal Shamas 23 amas higher. Did not we learned in the Mishnah Kol Apsachim Shayusham Gavon Esr Mama V'Rachman Esr Amos. So in terms of entrances, they're 20 amas high, 10 amas wide. Chutz Mishal Ulam with notable exception to the entrance to the Ulam. The Ulam is just double numbers. 20 amas wide, 40 amas high. Vitalian we learned in the Brice of Rachatz Basara Bamaim, Beme Mikva, Kol Basaro, Maim Shekogufa, Ola Behem. Also in terms of the Mikva requirements, so this is a Brice that we see often throughout Shas. And that is that Rachatz Basara Bamaim, so it has to be Beme Mikva. It has to be in collected rainwater. And Kol Basaro, and that means to say, Maim Shekogufa, Ola Behem, that your entire body has to go into the Mikva at one time. Vikamahain, how much water are we talking about? So Amalama Barum Gimel Amos. So first we'll give the standard linear measurement, which is 1 by 1 by 3. 1 by 1 is going to be length width, and 3 amos are going to be our height. Vishir Chachamim May Mikvar Baim Sa. And now we'll put that in terms of volume. So it comes out to a total of 40 sa. Okay, good. So that is the, so now I know the height of the mikvah, I know the height of the standard entrance of the Azara. So it's 20 plus another 3, so it's 23. Okay. A couple points over here that I'll just simply highlight, all coming from Tosus on our daf. Number one, couldn't the mikvah be shaped like a bathtub? Meaning that we're assuming right now that the mikvah is vertical, so then when you go in the mikvah, you have to be standing, vertically. How about this? How about make the mikvah a bathtub? So now the mikvah could be 1 by 3 by 1, right? And so you'll have, the volume will be the same, and the mikvah will be lower. And how did Abaye know that it has to be 23? Could be 21 if we just make it, instead of square and the height being the 3, we could make it longer. Okay, so we could do that. So Tosfos says no. Interesting Tosfos over here. He says no. Because consider that we're making this mikvah for the Kohen Gadol. So what is it, if we made it in the shape of a bathtub, what is he going to have to do? He's going to have to lie down. He's going to have to get up again, right? We're trying to make the Kohen Gadol's job as easy as possible. It's a hard job. Trying to make it as easy as possible. So Tosfos therefore says that that's why it's got to be vertical. Okay? That's one Tosfos. So another Tosfos over here, and it's the last Tosfos over here that I'm just summarizing, and it's a point that Tosfos makes throughout Shas. And that is the following. So the mikveh has to be big enough so that you can go in and submerge your entire body. And we also give the dimensions of 1 by 1 by 3. So that means that the standard height of a person is 3 amas, right? So Tosfos says no, that's not correct. Tosfos says that the height, standard height of a person is 3 amas only up to your shoulders, it doesn't include your head. And so Tosfos says I have a number of proofs for that. The biggest proof, which where Tosfos starts off with, is the Gemara in the beginning of Baba Basra. The Gemara in Baba Basra says, so you want privacy. In other words, you're right, you have a house, you have a yard, you want privacy, so you make a fence for privacy. So what is going to be the height of a fence for privacy? So the Gemara in Baba Basra says 4 amos. Well, if the height of a person is 3 amos, so why isn't the fence 3 amos? Oh, so Tosfos says, I'll tell you why. Because the height of a person is not 3 amos. 3 amos only goes up to your shoulders. Then, of course, there's the head that goes above it. So that's why, if you want to make a privacy wall, so the Gemara Baba Basra says it has to be 4 amos. So how does our Gemara work? So if the height of a person is 3 amos plus your head, so how's the mikvah going to work when it's 3 amos? So Tosfos over here says it's something called displacement. You're going to go into the mikvah, and obviously your body's going to take up room, and the water is going to rise, and it's going to go over your head. Tosfos also entertains the idea that. Yeah, right. So the Gemara over here, in this Tosfos, it's a good point. So in this Tosfos, we're gonna say that we're describing the volume of water more so than the height of the actual mikvah itself. But it's a really good point. Additionally, Tosfos also entertains the idea that you don't have to be standing totally straight. You could bend over a little bit. Okay. It's a little hard to imagine. Meaning if it's 1 by 1 by 3, so there's really not much room to bend. Anyway, the displacement theory is a better one. Good. So, and this point of Tosfos that the average height of a person is 3 amas, which it sounds very clear from our Gemara, is only up to the shoulders. Tosfos makes this point throughout Shas. It just happens to be here on this, on today's daf. So Tosfos really spends a good amount of time, describing it. Now, how much is an ama? Just to give you a sense of like what the height of people are, right? It's a sensitive topic for me. How much is an ama? So it's somewhere in the range of 1.5 to 2 feet. Okay, so let's go with 2 feet. So that means then that the average height of a person is over 6 foot, right? Right, 2 by 3, 2 times 3. So that's 6 feet up to the shoulders. Okay, now if your arm is 1.5 feet, so now it's 4.5 feet up to the shoulder. So it's funny, like right, we don't know exactly what an arm is. It's a debate amongst the poskim, but it's really interesting. Like over here, like it really plays out in terms of what the average height is, and obviously the other issue is, has the average height changed over the centuries, over the generations? Maybe, I don't know. Okay, and you're right, and Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, it's 10 amos high, which you know, puts him somewhere within the realm of 12 to 15 feet tall. Okay, good. Okay, the Gemara in Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara now, we're still in this Abai deduction that the water source feeding the mikveh has to be 23 amas higher in elevation based on the numbers that we were just given. The Gemara says it seems to be imprecise, a biased deduction, as we're now in the Amud Beis. So v'ha ika amatikra v'ama maziva. So the sha'ar in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, look, right, I'm not in construction, but you know, you build the second floor, you can't just simply build the second floor directly over the first floor. It needs support, right? You need the tikra, you need some sort of roof, you need a ma'aziva. You basically need a second foundation to build it on top of it. And consider over here, we're talking about building a mikvah on top of it, right? That's pretty heavy. So isn't there going to be thickness for that? And isn't that going to be now at least another ama? Right, again, this is a construction issue. I don't know how much more, but you're going to need more. So the Gemara says, not really. Kevin de Shaishaninu, the Gemara says, look, it's made out of marble. And b'mashu abdullahu, it's marble's very strong. You don't need that really, really thick flooring for the second floor. Kevin de Shaishaninu, b'mashu abdullahu. So v'ha'ika haich mashu. So the Gemara says, okay, But even Abai's deduction, like, why you're just ignoring the space that's being taken by this marble? So the Gemara says, yeah, you ignore it. So Kevin de lo have amta lo chashev lo. Abai was just rounding it off. In other words, Abai says 23 amas. You're right. It's not exactly 23 amas. It's going to be a little bit more than 23 amas. But in terms of measuring amas, so 23 amas. Okay. And it's a little bit more than that. Okay. Good. One last point before we start with the new Mishnah, Parsu Sadin Shabbat. Now, as far as his first tefillah is concerned, so, the Kohen Gadol would understandably want privacy. And so what you do is you put up a linen sheet. So you put up that linen sheet, so that he can have his privacy. Okay. It could be any sheet, really. So why does it have to be linen? The Gemara asked that question. Parsu Sadin Shabbat, Mishnah Shabbat. So Kedam Rav Kana, Kedesh Yakir Shavara Sayam Bebig De Butz. Hachanami Shiyakir Shavara Sayam Bebig De Butz. It's a reminder for the Kohen Gadol. You know, today, yes, it's true, you're going to be starting off in your Big Day Zahav, in your standard begadim of a Kohen Gadol. But then later today, you're going to be changing into your linen, your special linen garments for Yom Kippur. So it's now we're holding up a linen sheet and a reminder for the Kohen Gadol. I got to be honest. It's a little bit funny. Of all the reminders that the Kohen Gadol needs, I'm not sure. I mean, the Gemara says it, so I'm just thinking out loud right now. Like, this is the thing he needs a reminder for? Meaning, the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, right, there are many things that makes it unique, but one of them, of course, Torah spells it out. You're wearing special begadim on that day. And the Kohen Gadol on that day has got a lot of handlers. So, right, somebody's going to forget he has to wear his special big day Kohen Gadol. Oh, and the linen sheet that's being held up for privacy. You're right. Today's Yom Kippur. It's a little bit challenging. And the truth of the matter is that it gets even, I don't want to belabor this point, but, and I'm not going to, but see the Tosfos Kedam Rav Kahana, where Rav Kahana is going to make the comment a couple days from now in this perek. All right. Lamed Hey, I believe. So, where there's a reminder coming later in the day as well. And later in the day for a reminder, that's even more difficult to understand. Meaning, he's already changed into his big day lavan. And now you're holding up the linen sheets to remind him? Like, that's a really funny point to give him a reminder. So the truth of the matter is that I'm piggybacking on Tosus's point over here. It's just a little bit challenging to understand. Like, why is there, you really need to remind the Kohen Gadol today's Yom Kippur and you're wearing big day lavan? Okay. So. And I don't have a great answer, but fine. We're moving on. We're on the Mishnah Lamed Alpha and Beis, and now we begin Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So we're going to go through the whole process. Okay, we say the Avoda on Yom Kippur, so we have some familiarity with it. And over here we're learning the Mishnah. We're going through the Gemara, and we're going to now become hopefully much more informed, much more sensitized. To the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. We start with the Mishnah. Pasha Yarad V'Tavol. So now he's going to be changing out of his Big Dechol. You know, in other words, he's wearing what a Kohen Gadol wears when he's, you know, not working. So Pasha, and he's Yarad V'Tavol. He goes down and he tovels in the mikvah. Allah, he comes up from the mikvah. V'Nista Peg. And he's toweling off. He's drying off. Hey V'Ilo Big Dezav. And they're bringing him now the gold begadim. So this is his first change of the day. And Big Dezav. I'm going to start off in the standard begadim of a Kohen Gadol. It's called Big Dezav because many parts of the begadim are actually made up of gold. So Rashi, not here. Rashi earlier. Don't ask me where. But the details exactly which of the begadim are made up of gold. Notably, right, the one that's most outstanding. I mean, there it's more than one. But most outstanding, of course, is the tzitz. All right, the head plate that's worn by the Kohen Gadol. So that's made. Kula shel zav. It's made totally of gold. And the with the words Kodesh LaHashem on it, and there are other begadim also by the Kohen Gadol that's made up of gold. So Avila Bigdei Zav Lavash, and he puts it on V'Kidei Shadavar Aglav, and now he's going to be washing his hands and feet. So now you can count it up. One we have so far now one Tefila B'Mikvah and one Kidei Shadavar Aglaim. So Avila Osatamid. Now they bring him the Karman Tamid. Now the Karman Tamid obviously is not specific to Yom Kippur, but as we've said already numerous times, and it's evident right now in the Mishnah. So the Kohen Gadol is doing every avoda on Yom Kippur, including the Karban Tamid. So Avilo is a Tamid Kartso. So and now what he's going to do is going to shecht. Now typically when you shecht, so you shecht the majority. You shecht all the simanim. You go through the trachea, the esophagus. So that's what shechita demands. Over here the Kohen's going to do most of it. Well, why is he doing most of it? The word kartsu, right? It's a funny word. But the Gemara is going to spend time with it, not today's daf. But kartsu means that he's going to go through most of it, but not through all of it. So why? Because remember, this same Kohen Gadol is also going to have to do Kabbalah Sadam. So it's going to require a little bit of dexterity. He's going to have to shecht, and he's also going to have to be Mekabel the Dam. So part of the solution, or all the solution, is that he's going to be shechting the majority of the Simanim, and then he'll quickly grab a bowl and put it right under the neck in order to catch the blood. Umerik Acher, Shechita Al Yado. Now someone else is going to finish off the Shechita. Now the Shechita was kasher that he did, obviously. Because if it wasn't, then, you know, it's not good. But nevertheless, someone's going to finish it off. The Gemara is going to be talking about why the necessity, the requirement to finish it off. If his shechita was in fact good, so why have somebody else finish it off? The Gemara is going to discuss that. So, umerik acher shechita al yado, right? Rashi understands al yado means on behalf of him, meaning for him, for the Kohen Gadol. Kibal sadam, so now we're up to kabal sadam, vizarik, and then he's going to do the zrika. The Mishnah leaves out halacha, but the Mishnayos by kachim kind of always leave out halacha. But okay. But let's assume there's a halacha as well. Vizarka v'nichnas lahaktir ketaros shachar. Also, he's going to be burning the ketaros, right? Again, the Kohen Gadol is doing every avodah Yom Kippur. So he's going to be burning the ketaros. Ulehetif asaneros, and also he's also going to do atavas aneros. And let's understand it simply. We're talking about the morning, so he's cleaning out the neros, the atavas aneros. Ulehakriv asarosh v'saivarim. Also, he's going to be bringing up the head and the ivarim of the carbon tamid. So normally you have multiple Kohanim taking care of that job, right? Remember, we went through this in the second parak of our Masechta, right? 5 Kohanim bringing up 10 pieces, 2 in each hand, plus there's a 6th Kohen as well, who's bringing up the intestines in a bowl. So on Yom Kippur, it's all going to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Ve'achavitim ve'sayayim, also he's bringing the minchas chavitim, also he's bringing up the wine as well. Okay, all this is being done by the Kohen Gadol. And then the mission gives us a specific detail. Ketaros shachar, aisa kreva ben dam le'ivarim. As far as the burning of the ketaros, so that's between dam ve'evarim. That is done between the sprinkling of the blood and the bringing up the evarim. Shel ben arbaim, now in the afternoon, ben ha'evarim le'nesachim. The burning of the ketaros is done between the bringing up of the limbs and the pouring of the nesachim. Right? The wine, the flour, the oil that comes in conjunction with the carbon. And specifically over here, the Talmud Shel ben arbaim. Imaya kohen gadol zakino istinis. Now let's say our Kohen Gadol is either older or just simply he's delicate. So mechamim lochamim amatil atochet sonik kedei shetav vixina so. So what we'll do is we'll warm up the mikvah. In other words, for him to go into fresh spring water, it's cold. So and under normal circumstances, good. So it'll be refreshing, and it'll help you wake up. But but if the Kohen Gadol is elderly, or if he's just simply a sensitive, he's a delicate person. So then what we'll do is we'll warm it up. The process of warming it up. So we'll discuss also a little bit later on as well. Rashi over here writes mecham lo chamim. So mi ba'erev yom kippurim. So Rashi over here says that we're warming it up before Yom Kippur. And I say warm it up, by the way, just simply we're taking off the chill. Again, more details of this coming up in our parak. Okay. For the remainder of today's daf, we're just going to be sitting and focusing on one point. And that is that the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim and the Tefillah B'Mikvah that's done by the Kohen Gadol for our first wardrobe change. The Gemara says, Amru Rabbanu Kamei de Rapapa Hadlo K'Rab Meir. You know, our Mishnah's not going like Rab Meir. So we haven't seen yet Rab Meir's position. We're going to be introduced to it right now. Di Rab Meir Kevin Damar Trei Kiddushi Alavisha Avid Lahu Hachinami Le'Avid Trei Kiddushi Alavisha. Rameir says that you have to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim 2 times, Alavisha, on the putting on of new clothing, right? On the wardrobe change, when you're putting on your new clothing, Rameir requires 2 Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. And right now, the Gemara is thinking, well, if that's true, so then our Kohen Gadol, when he does that first wardrobe change in the morning, our Mishnah describes only 1 Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, and according to Rameir, there should be 2, right? And that means that our Mishnah is not going like Rameir. Okay. And the conclusion could it just simply be that our Mishnah is not going like Reb Meir. I know Stam Mishnah can Reb Meir, and generally speaking, we like to align the Mishnah like she does Reb Meir, but maybe over here it doesn't work. So Amar Lahu Reb Papa. So Reb Papa says to the Chachamim, meaning they're in the base Medrash, and Reb Papa says, incorrect, no. So Bein L'Rabbanan, Bein L'Reb Meir, Chad HaPshita, the Big Day Kodesh, Chad HaLavisha. So you totally misunderstood. Rav Meir doesn't require two Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayims that go on the Levisha, on the putting on of new clothing. No. Even according to Rav Meir, there's one Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim for the disrobing, and there's one Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim for putting on the new clothing. What you're confused with is when to do the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. And the Gemara goes on to explain. The machlokus between the Chacham and Rav Meir is the following. The Torah describes by the Kohen Gadol, Pashat, Virachatz, Vilavash. We're not quoting the Pasuk faithfully. We're just, you know, we're citing the key verbs over here. And he's disrobing. And he's rachatz, and he's washing, meaning Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. And Lavash, and he's putting on. And what do we have over here? Rav Meir suffer, Mekish Pshita Lelevisha. So Rav Meir says that what we have here is what's called a Hekesh. Meaning, if I string together these three verbs, so that means to say that the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim is going on the Hafshata and on the Levisha. And the Torah is equating the two. So, Ma Levisha Lovesh V'Acharkach Mikadesh, Apshita Poshet V'Acharkach Mikadesh. So, by the Levisha, so first the verb. First you put on the clothing, and then you're Mikadesh. So too with the disrobing. First you disrobe, meaning you do the action of disrobing, and then afterwards, Mekadosh, you wash your hands and feet. That's the Shita of Rav Meir. So it looks like that you are basically washing your hands twice in a row, but Rav Papa says to the Chachamim, but you misunderstood. It's not because they're both going on the Levisha, it just happens to be because of the Hekesh of Rav Meir. So the time that you're doing the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim on the disrobing is going to be after you disrobe. But that first Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim is going on the disrobing, and then the next one's going on the halbasha. And V'Rabban and Savran, the Chachamim say, look, we just disagree with your understanding of the Hekesh. We agree with you that there's a Hekesh, but we just disagree on your understanding. So V'Rabban and Savran, Mekesh Pshita Levisha. Ma Levisha Kishu Lavush Mekadesh, Av Pshita Kishu Lavush Mekadesh. What position are you in when you're doing Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim on the halbasha? When you already are clothed, then you'll do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So even on the Hafshata, so when do you do your Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim? While you're still clothed. Meaning, it's on the disrobing, but nevertheless, you're doing the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim while the clothing is still on. That's the Chachamim's understanding. So Amar Le Rabban Le Rav Papa, Umi Matzis Amar Hachi. So the Chachamim said to Rav Papa, I don't think you're right. Meaning, you gave a wonderful explanation of the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, but I just simply think you're wrong. Why do I think you're wrong? Because we have a brisa. And the brisa reads, Parsa Sadin Shabbutz Beino Levenaam. So here in this brisa, we're given now a description, right? It's a slight variation, but it's a description of what we described earlier this morning. So we hold out the linen sheet, so to give the Kohen Gadol privacy. Pasha viyar v'taval alav v'nistapeg. So it goes into the mikvah, it comes out, dries off. Heviel bigdei zahav v'lavash. And now they give him the bigdei zahav. He puts it on v'kiddush yadav v'raglav. And he does kiddush yadav v'raglayim. Good. That's the Tanakhama of this brisa. It is what we learned in the Mishnah. That's very good. The reason why we're quoting the brisa is for this next part. Rabbi Meir Omer Pasha v'kidei shadav v'raglav v'yar v'tavah alav v'nistapeg heviel bigdei zahav v'lavash v'kidei shadav v'raglav. And according to Rabbi Meir, you know what happens when this first change, in this first wardrobe change? He's washing his hands and feet twice. Once on the removal of the bigdei chol, and another time for putting on his bigdei kahuna. So that means to say that according to Rabbi Meir, there actually is for this first change in the morning, for the first time he puts on his bigdei zav, he's going to be doing Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim two times. So that's what the Braisa says, according to the Shita Rav Meir. And so when the Chachamim and the Beis Medrash said, you know, our mission is not going like Rav Meir, and Rav Papa tried to argue, but when all said and done, we have a Braisa that says it clearly. The Chachamim were right, and Rav Papa seemingly is wrong. And according to Rav Meir, it's two Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayims before the first wardrobe change. And so Amalus or Rav Papa says, okay, Tanya. Okay, you have a brisa. I can't argue with a brisa. So you have a Masorah, you have a brisa. Good. So I'll leave it as check. Maybe checkmate. But good. And he concedes. And we'll stop over here. And tomorrow we'll start on the last line. Okay, and let's recap our day today. we spoke about going into the Azari. Even if you're tall, you have to tell for the mikvah. According to Ben Zoma, it's a din d'oraisa. According to Rav Yehuda, it's a din d'rabbanan. So the Gemara had, starting off our daf today, a number of follow-up questions. Question number one. So I'll say it like Rashi. According to Rav Yehuda, do you have to worry about chatzitza? It's a din d'rabbanan. It's just a reminder, tefila. So do you have to worry about chatzitza? The Gemara says yes. Number two. Let's say you're not going to go into the Azara, but only part of you is going to go into the Azara. So do you have to do this tefillah? And the Gemara's response is yes. Okay. Question number three. What if you're not going to go into the Azara, but you got a really long knife and you're going to be shechting with a really long knife? So can you sidestep, this requirement to tovel because you're not actually going to the Azara, even though you're performing an avoda in the Azara? So that the Gemara ends off teku. The Gemara says not sure. The Gemara then on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph halfway down quotes a brisa describing now that the first mikvah that he does, the first vila that he does, is in a mikvah that's just above Shar Hamayim, the gate of water, and it's right next to his lishkas, next to lishkas Parhedrin. Good, and so Abayi says, you know, what we can deduce from there is that the water source is, that's feeding this second story, mikvah is, it's called Mei Eitan. Rashi says it's the same as what you find in Sefer Yehoshua, Mei Naftawach. And, it's gotta be at least 23 amas higher in elevation than that of the Azara. Why? Because the, height of the standard shahr is 20 amas. And the height of a mikvah is 3 amas. So in order for it to feed in naturally, so it's got to be 23 amas higher. Good. That was a biased deduction. And I highlighted a number of points over there, which I'm not going to go over right now. Good. When you put up the screen of privacy for the Kohen Gadol, it's got to be made up of linen. Why? So the Gemara says to remind him that today you're wearing linen. Then we went through the Mishnah. The Mishnah started the Seder Avoda, where the Kohen Gadol now is going to be dressed in his big day Zahav. And he's going to tovel in the mikvah. He's going to come out from the mikvah. He's going to put on his big day zav, and he's doing his first of 10 kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, washing of hands and feet. He's going to be doing the seder avoda for the karban tamid. The Mishnah details all the steps that are done in terms of the tamid shel shachar. In addition to that, the Mishnah also made a comment that the kataris is done between, for the morning, it's done between dam and the evarim. In the afternoon, it's done between the Evarim and the Nesachim, which the Gemara later, not tomorrow's daf, but a couple days from now, is going to be focused on the sequence. And if the Kohen Gadol is either old or infirm, so what they'll do is they'll warm up the water for him before Yom Kippur. Good. And the Gemara is going to spend time with that. And then our first discussion for today is our Mishnah is not going like Rav Meir. How do I know that? Because our Mishnah describes that for the first wardrobe change of the day for the Kohen Gadol, so he puts on the big day Zav, and he does Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim once. Now, if you are Shitas Rebbe Meir, it comes out to be twice. Rav Papa tried to argue with that, maybe he said no, but the Gemara's conclusion was, no, that's correct. According to Rebbe Meir, there would be two Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, so our Mishnah's not going like Rebbe Meir. Gemara says, fine, that's the correct conclusion.